We're going to talk about the resurrection power today. Is that okay?
Yes.
Should we talk about that? Yes. And let's turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis 3, 15. While you're turning there, I'm going to do a little recap real quick. Obviously, you know, the reason why we are celebrating Jesus was because of a fall or mistake that we made, Adam and Eve. Now, I hear people blaming all the, well, Adam and Eve did this and Adam and Eve did that, and they started everything, and it's their fault. Well, we all sin every day, right? I mean, you know, we've all missed the mark. Okay, hopefully not every day, but I'm saying we've all missed the mark. So I always think of it this way. If Adam and Eve didn't do it, I'm probably the knothead that would probably screw everything else up too, right? Or maybe you, okay, you know. So one of us would have messed it up along the way. But in the beginning, with the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden, when they were told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of course, or they would die. That was the commandment that God gave them, right? And what did they do? They obviously ate. They submitted to sin. And then through this world, that threw the world into a tailspin of lust, hate, obviously murder, war, sickness, disease, suffering, lies, and then eventually death. And so we look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Now, this is very important because this is God is prophetically speaking that Jesus is coming. And it says, I will cause hostility, talking about the serpent now. God is now directing this commandment to the serpent. He's saying, I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. What is he saying? There's someone coming from Eve that is going to crush you. And then it goes on, he will strike your head and you will strike his heel. That is prophetic, and since that statement, the devil has been looking for Jesus, right? So we see that mankind fell into sin. We disobeyed. Mankind, now get this. Here's something very important. One of the main staples I want you to get tonight is this. Mankind did not ask God to redeem us. Do you realize that? I don't remember seeing it anywhere in the Bible where God, Adam and Eve begged God to redeem them. God, because of his love, redeemed us, had a plan to rescue us without us reaching out to him. Pretty cool, huh? That's mind-boggling to me. Now, and the reason why we celebrate Jesus is because of this. In Genesis 1:26, it says that mankind was created in what? God's image, right? Why is that so important? You know, we just flippantly say that it's important. Why? Because here it is. Because he could not redeem us if we were not in his image. He himself could not come down and redeem us if we were not in his exact image, right? I mean, God would not come down as a horse to redeem us because he's not a horse, right? He's not going to come down as a fallen angel because he's not a fallen angel. He has redeemed us, and we were purposely made in his image because if there was a sin, then we could be redeemed. And the only person that was going to be able to redeem it was himself, right? See, man got this. We got ourselves into the mess, and the only way that we can get ourselves out of the mess is if God came down and fixed it for us. And the only way he could fix it for us was if he came down as human, as himself, in his image, and do it and fix it himself. So again, we see there that this enemy has been trying to kill off this seed from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, all the way, right? In the days of Moses, what would happen? He was trying to kill off the firstborn males of that time period, right? Two and under. In Jesus' day, what was happening? Herod was out to kill all the males, right? What he got? He got angry because the wise men came and would not come back and tell him where Jesus was at. So he erupted, and then he decided, we're just going to kill all the males 2 years and under, right? So we're seeing that the devil, the enemy, is trying to kill off this Savior, and he's doing it today still. He's still trying to destroy the seed of man through, obviously, perversion. We see, we see also there he's trying to pollute man's DNA through Genesis chapter 6, right? And he's still trying to pollute our DNA right now, too. He's still trying to destroy us through abortion and through things that are out there to manipulate our DNA and everything else, too. There are I was reading some things about now they have a kit. And they have a kit now where you can take it and it can actually fuse your DNA and change your DNA. Now, there are medical procedures out there where there's a kit you can get now. This guy got it, and this medical professional was talking about it. You can get a DNA kit, and it can alter your DNA. That's scary stuff, right? That's not what God wants. He made us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, the Bible says, right? God didn't make junk, and the devil wants to convince you that you are cheap and that you are not worth anything, and that's not the way God made you. So we look here at Romans. I'm going to kind of move fast through some things because we have communion, and of course, well, we don't want to talk about the eggs or anything like that, right? We don't need to worry about that. But Romans 8, chapter 11 says this, the King James, but if the Spirit himself that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, everybody say dwells in me. See, that Spirit that raised Christ from the dead reigns in us. It rules in us if we're born again. He that raised up Christ from the dead bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. So again, those of us who are born again, who have the Spirit in us, have the same power that Christ has, that raised him. And this power is present throughout the Word of God. See, we just think that this power that raised Christ from the dead was only at the cross and was only for salvation. We see this power of Christ was there at the parting of the Red Sea. Amen? And it was there for the deliverance of the Hebrews. We see that the power of Christ was there for the walls of Jericho to fall down. And you know, many scholars don't think that the walls fell. Many scholars think that the walls fell into the earth, straight down. There was no tumbling. They fell into the earth. Pretty amazing, huh? Supernatural. That stuff just doesn't happen. You know, people go, well, you know, I like Brother Hagin said one time, somebody said something about, well, you know, the place where the Hebrews cross is only ankle deep. And I'm not sure which one's more of a miracle, that or the Egyptians drowning in ankle deep water. I'm not sure which one's more of a miracle, right? So it's ridiculous, some of these things that people say. The same resurrection power that was in Christ is also there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. Because it says, I see the Son of Man, the Son of God with them. Supernatural. We see that Daniel was in the lion's den and those lions' mouths were shut. Supernatural. This power of Christ has been there from the day one all the way until we see Revelation, until we are face to face with Jesus. And heaven is now the new Jerusalem here on earth. And God will recreate this earth, and we are with God. From now until then, that power of Christ is working in us and around us. And again, let's not forget all the miracles that Christ did on the earth, right? The healings, the miracles. He raised people from the dead, words of knowledge, and also his supernatural conception by the Holy Spirit, which is supernatural. God, him, Jesus Christ himself, was the Son of Man. He referred to himself as the Son of Man because he was half God and half human. He was a supernatural being with supernatural DNA. He did not have the DNA that you and I have. He was human, but again, his Father, the Holy Spirit, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was perfect in every way. Hebrews 11, 33 through 35. Again, we're talking about the power. Again, the power is not just at the cross, and it's not just for salvation. We see Hebrews 11, 33 through 35, New Living Translation. It says, by faith these people overthrew kingdoms. Amen. The power of God overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put their whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from the dead. But those others were tortured, refused to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Amen? The power of Christ at the cross has, well, I always like to think of it this way too. We had in Damata there, in the school of Damata, and I love one of the pastors, said one time, he says, you know, the Old Testament was like, it was like putting God's grace on a MasterCard or a charge card. He charged it, and it was paid at Calvary. Amen? The healings, the deliverance, the salvation, everything that came through Abraham in the Old Testament, all of those blessings, they were put on a credit card, and then Christ paid them at the Calvary. Amen? That's why it said, it is paid. It is the debt that was paid beforehand, before he showed up on the scene, and the debt that we would have seen in our time, after Christ died. Amen? It's all been paid. It's all been taken care of. That power of Christ at the cross has paid everything. John 20, 21, 25. This is the Amplified Classic. And it says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did. This is an absolutely incredible scripture, guys. If they should be all recorded one by one in detail, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain or have room for the books that have been written. This is how powerful that Christ is, and his resurrection power is, that everything that Christ did here on the earth within 3 years, that there are so many miracles and so many healings and so many things that happen that our books and annuals could not contain the individual healings described. It is impossible. That's the power of the cross. And we watch TV, and again, we have no idea what has happened. Amen? You know, the history books never talk about when Christ was raised from the dead, how many saints, how many hundreds of saints blew out of the grave and were walking around after the resurrection of Christ. Hundreds and hundreds of people, the Bible talks about, and historical, and Jethro talks about it, and other scholars talk about it, how there were hundreds of people after Christ's death and his resurrection that were roaming, other saints of God that were roaming and had been dead. Amen? Jesus had to go, this is how powerful Jesus was. Jesus had to say, Lazarus rise, because if he didn't specify, the entire grave would come to life. That's the power of Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. And then we've got people preaching that this is just a wimpy old Bible and everything's passed away. And, you know, we listen to that sometimes too. Well, you know, there's no miracles today. There's nothing going on. I'm sorry, but my Bible says that this is a better covenant than the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God was with them in the fiery furnace. God was with them when they were oppressed by the Egyptians. God led them out. Supernaturally, there was a blast of God's nostrils. And then overnight, the Red Sea parted. And they've just found wheels from chariots under the Red Sea. I was just listening to this about a year or two ago, and then I saw it on TV here just this week. It was just on regular TV, and I watched it, and they were talking about, oh yeah, there's a chariot wheel right there, and there's this, and there's this. And it's like, God likes to leave little clues behind. You know, God is somebody that likes to prove things. Are you awake tonight? I hope you are. Let's see, Romans 8:11 says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that's the Holy Spirit, that's the Spirit of God, that same Spirit in Jesus, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Hebrews 12:1-4. Therefore, and I'm moving quick here, so you can write it down or whatever. Hebrews 12:1-4 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Here's what I want to focus on, verse 2 and the rest of it. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting Him. I'm sorry, was the cross a joy? No, the cross was not a joy. But it says that because of the joy that awaited before Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. So we have Jesus who, He found the cross a joy because we were on the other side of it. That's power. Amen. That's power. That he saw us on the other side, that we were more important than his comfort. We were more important than the torture that he went through. We were more important than the shame and the embarrassment and humility. We were more important than being embarrassed and humiliated in front of the religious council. We were more important than his pride. Think of all the hostility. Now it says, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not given your lives in your struggle against sin. So when we think about God and all what he went through, it helps us keep moving forward. Right? There are more than 351 biblical prophecies about Christ just in the Old Testament. Just in the Old Testament. The pathway to the cross is a spectacular journey that is supernatural, and it's impossible for anyone else to achieve. The love of Christ that he volunteered to take on the savage torture and the beatings that he took for us. He looked like, and we see scripture talking about this, and other scholars believe, it was like he was just a chunk of meat hanging up there. That's it. I mean, I love the Passion of the Christ. It gives, I think, one of the most realistic as possible renditions. But to think about him, that he was absolutely, I mean, because when Pilate saw him, even Pilate was taken back that it was so extreme that when he was, it was called scourging him. And they were just supposed to beat him and send him on his way. But even Pilate was taken back by how brutally they beat him. And that's before the cross. They haven't gotten to the cross yet. But let's read about victory tonight. Amen. We're going to close in victory. Matthew 28:2 and verse 6. And it says, verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake. Amen. See, there we go. The power of God rising from the dead. It shook the earth. Amen. And it's going to shake the earth again when that trumpet blows. Hallelujah. And the resurrection of the dead, we see there in Thessalonians, when that trumpet is blown, and we see it says specifically that grandpa and grandma are going to blow out of the graves first. Those who are dead in Christ will rise first, and then those of us who are alive remaining after will go after. We see that, behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended upon from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Right? Isn't that cool? He just rolled it back, and he's like, I'm just chilling out. Yeah. Hey guys, what's going on? Look what I just did. What's he say? He's not here. He is risen. And he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Basically, hey, look, he's gone. I rolled it back. He's gone. In Luke, Jesus is eating broiled fish and eating honeycomb, right? He appears, of course, appears several times to the disciples through that time. He's walking with people on the side of the road. They don't recognize him. He appears. And doubting Thomas isn't there, and he appears again. And in Luke, he's eating broiled fish and honeycomb afterwards. In John 21, it says Jesus is cooking fish for the disciples. Here we go. While he's telling them to cast their nets on the other side for supernatural harvest. Isn't that interesting how Jesus, it comes full circle, doesn't it? Jesus started his disciples' ministry with a supernatural harvest of fish, and he kicks it off with what? A supernatural harvest of fish. Revelation 1:18 says this, I am he that liveth and was dead. Okay, I'm sorry guys, those of you who are Jesus didn't die and go to hell, this scripture kind of punches a hole in that, doesn't it? Right? It says, I am he that what? Liveth and was dead. Oh, just out of my body and da, 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 da. No. It says Jesus died. He was dead. This is Jesus speaking. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And here we go. And have the what? Keys of hell and death. Goodbye, death and hell. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Two more scriptures. And then I am going to beat everybody out to those eggs. I am telling you right now. And then communion. That's right. Oh, we can't forget communion. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, Now thanks be unto God, which what? Always causes us to triumph what? In Christ. That's the important part here. We always think, well, God always causes us to triumph. No, in Christ. Why is it important in Christ? Because of the resurrection power in Christ that works in us. See, we can't do it. I am always triumphant. No, you're not. It's Christ's power working in you and makes manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place. Last scripture before we have communion. Amen. This isn't a race, but Colossians 2:15. Here we go. I love it. 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 Love it. Who used to say that? Wasn't Harry Carey? He used to say that. I love it. I love it. I love it. When the Cubs won or something. I'm not a Cubs fan, but he always said that. You know, go Cubs. Yeah. Any bigger, blacker rims. So, but it says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. What? Triumphing over them in it. He took the devil, the enemy, all of these cohorts and paraded them around the spiritual realm and said, you are defeated. You are destroyed. I have beaten you. Look at it. That's why when Jesus shows up on the scene, the devils tremble. Why? Because of the resurrection power of Christ. Amen? People have no recollection, but the spiritual world cowers at the power of Christ. They are scared of the power of Christ. I honor and reverence the power of Christ, but I welcome the power of Christ. Amen. In my life, because I want Jesus to be Lord in my life and to change my life and to work through me, and I want him to work through you. Amen. Before we take communion, I wanted to say things tonight. If you have never received Jesus, we want to pray tonight. Amen. Because as we turn to Thessalonians, the scripture, and I'm turning there now. If you have never, Corinthians, and I'll give you the scripture for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, while you're turning there, you know, tonight, if you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, because we're going to read here in a moment, it says that those who remember me, in remembrance of me. You know, when you go to a funeral or you go to the reading of a will or whatever it is, you're going to a funeral. And I used to work in a funeral home, and I used to go to funerals and do things where it's like I'm doing things, and I don't know these people at all, right? They don't know me. I'm just there working, okay? We're not that. When you're at a funeral and you're there to honor a loved one, you are what? We're remembering them, aren't we? When I've done several funerals, I am, you know, there's the eulogy and all the other aspects of the funeral. And part of that is to reflect on the life of the person. We are honoring and remembering them. You can't honor and remember somebody if you don't know them, right? I know about Abraham Lincoln. I know about George Washington. But there's no remembering with me, right? I can't. All I can say is I can read what it is about them. They were born here or born here. They were first president, 16th president. This happened. This happened. But I can't. I don't remember them. But through Christ, because of Christ, we can have a relationship with God. And because of that, we can remember him. We can have a relationship with him. Now, it doesn't mean that I remember the things that Jesus did. But what it means, I remember. I can sense his voice. I know what he is in the scriptures. I can have a relationship. I have what the word says, the inward witness. Amen? In Romans. I can have those things through a relationship with him. And I want us all to pray together. If you have not said this, and every person here is welcome to take communion. Amen? You don't have to be, you know, any person is welcome. But let's just pray to this. Lord Jesus, we dedicate ourselves to you tonight. And we thank you that God raised you from the dead and seated you at the right hand. And we declare that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross and that he rose you from the dead. And we declare tonight that you are my Savior, my Lord, and I submit to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and let's read some scriptures here. And I'll let go ahead, and you want to hand out the elements. While they're handing out, I'm gonna read the scripture here. And the Apostle Paul here is writing to the Corinthians, and he is recounting the events in the Last Supper. And the Last Supper is the Last Supper that Christ had that night before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and then was arrested. And that Judas Iscariot went to the religious council and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. But this is that Last Supper where Christ is sitting with the disciples. In verse 24, verse 23, and it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And then after that, the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament," or we say the New Covenant, "in my blood. This do ye often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we are now, this is representation. And Jesus was, when he was at the Last Supper, was speaking about what he was going to do. That his body was going to be broken and that the blood was going to be shed. His body was broken for our healing. And the blood was shed for the remission and the elimination of our sins. Amen? That we now can enter into the Holy of Holies with God and through him. That's why Jesus said, "I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life," right? That means he is the pathway to God. He is the truth. And then through him, we see that he is defeated in Revelation 1:18, death and hell. So he is the life. Amen? And if I could get some elements also, that would be great. A cup and some bread, and we'll break the bread together and we'll partake of it, and then we'll also partake of the juice. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Did everybody get served? Did we miss anybody? Okay, great. And then we'll let them get their elements, the ushers, and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But it's so wonderful that we take it now. Just a couple other things before we take it, and we break the bread and we take it together. This is a point of contact and connection with the Holy Spirit and with the Lord. Amen. Many people receive their healing through communion and things. And if you need healing, we just receive it right now through him. Amen. Lord, we speak healing in the bodies right now. We thank you for just you doing a work in us, Lord God, right now as we come and we commune with you, and we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's take the wafer and break it, and we'll receive the element together. Jesus, we worship you tonight, Lord. We love you. We thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. Jesus, 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 we love you, Lord. We honor you. We love you, Lord. Praise God. And then we'll receive the cup together. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just lift the hands of heaven for a moment. Let's just worship him. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice, Lord, on the cross. Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice, your broken body and your blood that was shed for us, Lord God, that you saw us on the other side, that we were the joy that was set before you, Lord. We love you, Lord God, and we give you glory and honor tonight, Lord Jesus, that you're worthy to be worshipped and honored and to be praised, Lord Jesus. We love you. We thank you. And that no person, no man, no organization, nothing will get your credit, Lord, that you are due for all glory and honor and praise and worship. And we thank you for it, Lord, for all you've done. And Lord, we speak peace and joy tonight on every person, that the love of God would be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. We give you glory and honor in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.